All right, today we're going to talk about a topic called, with it being the last day of the year, is there a need to be excited? Is there a need to be excited? Albert Einstein once said, and I quote, are we good up there, Mimi? Are we good? Albert Einstein once said, and I quote, the world as we have created it is a process of our thinking. It cannot be changed without changing our thinking, end quote. As powerful of a thought as that is, so that I do not run the risk of anyone leaving here today without truly understanding what the charge or my challenge is to you, as we edge closer to the new year, I would like to, as much as I like his quote, I would like to make it a bit more personal for everyone that's listening. And I would like to rephrase it like this. And if you're wondering, the reason why we haven't called children's church or youth churches, this is the fifth Sunday. So on fifth Sunday, everybody's in the house. Amen. Amen. Don't worry. Everybody will be in their respected place next week. I'd like to alter his phrase a little bit and say it like this. This world that I have created for myself is a process of my thinking. And my world, my life, cannot be changed without me changing my thinking. If I remember the world as the worldly ways correctly, the celebration of the coming of the new year will not start in a few hours, but rather the celebration of the new year started Friday night and Thursday night. In fact, if you was a hustler, and anyone from the streets knows that for the hustler, the weekend never starts on Friday, because when you don't have a regular legal job, but you have money, every day is like the weekend. But the weekend festivities usually begin on a Thursday. I don't know if there's anybody here old enough to remember the Legion. Amen. Yeah, the festivities got started on a Thursday night, and the Legion got you geared up for Friday night and the rest of the weekend. All over the world, there is a buzzing going on right now. This very hour, there is a buzzing going on. The reason for this buzz is because in a few hours, if the Lord allows, and I believe he has shown me that it will, that he will, we will be walking into a new year. Like every December 31st, there is a heightened excitement because not all, but many equate a new year with a new beginning. It's funny that we do that, especially church people, that we equate a new year with a new beginning, because God is not limited to the year. And if you are in Christ, or you decide to be a part of the body of Christ, then your new starts when you choose to be new in him. But the enemy will have you believe, I can't get it right till January 1st. Okay. Many feel that with the turn of a new year, watch this, every wrong in their lives is just going to suddenly be made right. That every negative situation in their lives is just going to magically go away, or somehow go from being negative to positive. Every December 31st, people declare that they are going to lose weight, and they say things like, yeah, this year I'm going to get back in the gym. Which, with making such a statement, would have one to believe that they were ever in the gym at all. but because, we went around 8 times this year and had a few salads and drank about 4 smoothies, in your mind, there was a time in this year that you were really about your fitness, but it just got away from you. So you're going to lose weight, but you don't have a workout plan written down. You're going to lose weight, but you haven't even put a meal plan together. You're going to lose weight, but you haven't pinned in your calendar for what time and what days that you plan to work out. You haven't put a budget together to ready yourself for the financial shift that's going to take place once you begin this journey. Because if you know anything about fitness, fitness ain't cheap. But you did go get some running shoes and some matching workout clothes. And you have fooled yourself into believing before you have even started that you are already losing weight simply off the clothes and the shoes. You've not stopped to think about how for the first 2 weeks to a month your body is going to be sore because you haven't been putting your body through any type of real physical activity. And so since there is no schedule and since there is no meal plan and since there is no budget for better eating and there are no stretching techniques that you're doing on the way to January 1st, And since all you're losing weight and getting healthy has to stand on is your new running shoes and workout clothes and a bunch of loose wrap, you most likely will not lose much weight, if any at all. I'm always laughing. I used to laugh at myself when we would go to the gym and take pictures. Why are you going to the gym taking pictures on day two? And you know, you done before you took the picture, you done already made up in your mind you ain't gonna stay the whole hour. And if we see, because I'm just talking about me, I ain't talking about nobody else in here. And I done already thought about where I'm going to eat when I leave here. Oh God. And with all of that, it might surprise you to hear me say that the lack of planning is a problem, but it's not the biggest problem. Your biggest problem is that you have become conditioned to lying to yourself. Many people, especially my team, knows that I don't like resolutions. I never make them. Because we just simply lie to ourselves. And, you know, so pray for me this year, because I've actually made about 5 or 6, and I had my daughters in the car, and I was telling them my resolutions, and they was making faces like, he ain't gonna make it. He is not gonna make it. So the problem is that we've become conditioned with lying to ourselves, and not only that, you have become okay with letting yourself down. Mm-hmm. I need my ushers. We got too much going on. Amen. And not only that, you've become okay with letting yourself down. The addiction, watch this, the addiction or the adrenaline that comes with the thought or the notion that you might be about to get yourself together physically is crazy. And along with the first couple of salads for a week and your first 3 visits to the gym is all you need to deem yourself getting yourself together. And after about 2 weeks of all that and the salads and the few times that you really did go to the gym begins to slow down drastically, if not at all together. And for the next 11 months, watch this, you eat unhealthy. You move at a bare minimum, gain more weight, and you hate yourself more and more every time that you look at yourself in the mirror. Lord have mercy. Because you want to look better. You want to feel better, and let's be real. We don't mind when people think we look a little better, and we're going to deal with that too. But let me say it again. We oftentimes consciously or subconsciously begin to grow a hate for ourselves. And let me explain. See, some of you hate yourselves, and you know it, and it don't take a whole lot of explanation for that. Many of you will remember one time when we had an altar call, and I said, if you hate yourself, come down here, and almost the whole building came. So if you hate yourself, there's no need for me to have to explain that. But there are some of us that really don't know that you are your biggest hater. And that's why when you speak of yourself, you call yourself stupid, and you call yourself fat, and my fat self ain't getting ready to go do that, girl. And you know, and you see what I'm saying to you? And you think that you know, oh God. And even though you say it jokingly with your friends, you're really not joking. In fact, you're just trying to play off what you think people are already thinking. Oh God. But did you know that you could think a certain way about you
And because you think that way about you, you will just assume everyone else does. But for the most part, you could be wrong. It'd just be you that has the issue with you. Lord, have mercy. Social media is booming with all the new year, new me quotes. And then there are some of you that are full of excitement about the coming year. And I promise I'm not your hater, but I am the majority of your of you. I am your pastor. So if you lose weight or not, that ain't my business. If you go back to school or not, that ain't my business. Let me go ahead and bless the 30-year-old that wants to go back to college, but you know you ain't really committed, but now you're getting ready to build up a whole bunch of more debt. If we're going to be anything in 24, let's just be mature. Amen. If you stop smoking or not, that's really not my business. If you stay in a toxic relationship or not, that's, I don't like it, but that's not my business. And don't get me wrong, I want the best for you. I love you. Miriam and I, we love you, but my main concern is for your soul. My main concern is that your walk with Jesus is on point. I don't know, call me crazy, but I just tend to believe that if your life with Jesus is on point, you will find a new strength to do all that you need and desire to do. But the point I'm making, and I want you to hear me and hear me good, your excitement about transitioning from 2023 to 2024, I want to deal with that. All of your resolutions and goals and promises mean absolutely nothing if there is not a new mindset, a new way of thinking. If all you have to make your desires come to pass in 2024 is your will, is your determination, then I want you to know you're about to be in trouble. And here's the proof. If your will was all you ever needed, if your determination was ever enough, then most of the things that you need and want to do, you would have already changed. Amen. See, that's the problem is we rely on our will as if our will is strong enough, but our will has never been strong enough. This is why when Paul was perplexed in his thinking and he said, three times I asked the Lord, I consulted the Lord about what, you know, this thing, this thorn in my side, this thorn in my flesh. And he says to me, he says, I need this thing to be away from me. He says, God says to me, my grace is sufficient. Even in your weakness, that even in your weakness, my strength is perfected. Lord, have mercy. You didn't need for it to be January 1st, for you to start getting it together. If I found out that I had cancer Tuesday, I'm not waiting to Monday to start fighting it. I start fighting it Tuesday night. So here it is. In order to see the changes in your life that you need and want to see, you have to change your mind. And when you become spiritually mature, what we find out is your wants are actually becoming your needs, and your needs are your wants. See, as I begin, I remember when I was 19, 21, I used to have a saying, if it ain't foreign, it's boring. Today, with the way that my financial makeup is set up, I just wanted to make across town. You know, you can hand me, what are those cars they used to just make by hand? What was those? It was a box. It was just a box. The Yugo, amen. Somebody says Chevette. Now, you was bougie if you had a Chevette back then. You could give me a Yugo today. And I'm, you hear me? I'm going to put a system in it, air freshener. You understand? Tint it. I'm going to tint my Yugo, and I'm going to ride it like it's a Benz because I've become mature. And so I ain't necessarily tripping on what you see me in. I'm just happy to be getting there. Lord, have mercy. And if you know me, you know that was a fight. I want to show you some scripture real quick. The book of Philippians chapter 2, verse number 5 says, and I want you to understand what this sermon is today. I want you to understand what this is today. This is not necessarily a sermon. This is a plea. This is not necessarily a sermon. This is a plea. Because as a pastor, and many of your pastor, it breaks my heart when you don't come up the way you want to. Because what the enemy will have us to believe is, where is your God? Philippians chapter 2, verse number 5 is one of my favorite verses. It's very popular here at the Unity Worship Center, and it says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. That's the New King James Version. But I have a bevy of different versions because I want you to understand what it is that I'm trying to say to you. So in the New King James Version, it says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. But then when you begin to look at it in the New Living Translation, it says, you must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. So, in other words, watch this, and this is the most important part of that. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had about the Father and then about yourself. See, the problem in 2023 going into 24 is that many of you have, you've stopped your ability to next level and grow because of the definition that somebody else had of you. See, and I read a Facebook quote one time that I loved. It says, how they feel about me ain't my business. The only way that I'm supposed to see me is how the Father sees me. You understand what I'm saying to you? So I need those scriptures back up there. So the New Living Translation says you must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Now, in the Message Bible, it says, let this mind, in the Message Bible, it says, think of yourselves the way Christ Jesus thought of himself. Now, real quickly, I want to deal with that because that's powerful. Now, y'all remember a couple of weeks ago, we preached a sermon, No Power, Just Permission. Amen. Now, in that sermon, we went to Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11, and we're going to read them kind of fast because I just want to show you what it is that Jesus thought about himself. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil, and when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterward he was hungry. Now, when the tempter came to him, he said, if you see he's questioning his authority, he says, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread. But he answered and said, watch what he said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Then the devil took him up into a holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple. And he said to him, if you are the Son of God. And see, some of y'all ought to be able to connect to this because you got some people in your life that since you've been coming to church is saying stuff like, well, if you really saved, if you're really different, you understand what I'm saying to you. And so watch this. So they think that they can talk crazy to you, but if you really saved, you shouldn't talk crazy back to me. They think that they can use you, play you, dog you, do you wrong, but if you really saved, you ain't gonna say nothing about it. You just gonna let me do it. The devil is a lie. You gotta watch out for these cats that like to, you know, try to question who it is that you claim to be now. I don't care about who I used to be, baby. All I'm focused on is who God has me becoming now. And so he said to him, if you are the Son of God, then you throw yourself down, for it is written, he shall give you his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your feet against the stone. And Jesus said to him, it is written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. You understand what he's claiming. Despite what it is that you're trying to question my authority, despite the fact that you're trying to question who it is that I say I am, watch this. I ain't got a lot of Facebook snazzy slogans, and I ain't got a whole bunch of loose rap and slick mouth and all of that. Baby, all I got is the word. It is written. Lord, have mercy. You want me to tell you how the best way to go ahead and get your haters away from you? Let me tell you how you get your haters away from you. Talk about Jesus. That's all you got to do. Let me tell you something. I was facing 20 to life in one city, 10 flat in another city, and still couldn't get certain females away from me. You know what I did? I started writing about Jesus. I started writing scripture. Guess what? Mail call slowed up real quick in my life. Talk about Jesus. Lord, have mercy. Don't talk about church. Talk about Jesus. That's how you keep your haters away. You want your haters to lose interest in you and keep your name out their mouth? Talk about Jesus. Lead with Jesus. You know, they said such and such, and you know what? I'm just going to pray for them because, you know, evidently they're going through something that I don't understand, and before I say something bad, I'm just going to pray. Ain't no drama in that. They find somebody else to go hate on. Amen. In verse number 9, he said to him, all these things, in verse number 8, he says, again, the devil took him up to an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all of the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, all these things I will give to you if you will fall down and worship me. And I want you to understand, Satan went in line. It was his to give because Adam had relinquished power over to Satan. You understand what I'm saying to you? So he had it to give. Oh, God. And Jesus said to him, watch this, away with you, Satan. See, sometimes you just got to get to the point to when you see that Satan don't get it, you just got to say, man, go on somewhere. It would bless some of y'all's life. Just go ahead and pull your phone out and text some of the people in your life and just say, go on somewhere. You'd be surprised. The Bible says that if you flee from the devil, then the devil will flee from. Some of y'all keeping devils around because you ain't fleeing. Trying to have spiritual conversations with unspiritual people. Make that make sense. Then Jesus said to him, away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. And then the devil left him. Watch this. And behold, the angels came and ministered to him. In another version, I believe in Luke, it says that the devil left him for a more opportune time. And so don't get excited with the victory because he's coming back. You understand what I'm saying to you? Now, watch this. I want to show you. Now, what I want to show you in that is that just as Satan tempted Jesus, he's going to tempt you. But the reason Jesus never bit, the reason Jesus never gave permission was because Jesus knew who he was. And every time Satan tried to question who he was, tried to challenge his stance in the Godhead, Jesus never bit because he knew who he was. Let me tell you why we're experiencing so much defeat in the body of Christ when we've got the winning formula. It's not that Satan is better. It's not that he's smoother. It's not that he's slick with it. The problem is we don't know who we are. Are you saved? I go to church. That ain't what I ask you. Do you have a relationship with God? I go to such and such, that ain't what I ask you. I ask you, are you saved? Do you have a relationship with the Father, the Son, and does the Holy Spirit dwell within you? Lord, have mercy. He knew who he was, and every time Satan tried to question who he was and tried to challenge his stance, he let him know. He never bit because he knew who he was. You, beloved, we have to remember who we are. We are children of God. We have the Holy Spirit, and we have the power to have victory over sin if we will use it. Some of you look at the word victory, and you don't even apply your name to it. Because we've been conditioned to losing for so long, we don't even, we feel silly even thinking that we have a right to have a little piece of victory. But on the strength that you gave your life to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and if you was for real about that, then see what has to happen after that is you got to get in the book. And the book begins to teach you that you have power to have victory. And this power that God gives you, watch this, it disables the enemy from being able to just catch you up in anything. Lord, have mercy. And I know some of you are thinking, I got something for you. And you're thinking to yourselves, yeah, Pastor, but he was Jesus. He had the power to say no to what needed to be said no to because he was Jesus. So let's go to Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 through 8. And in it, where we were just at with Philippians. In fact, I'm sorry, it might be 2, 7 through 8. Mimi, I'm sorry. And so it says this. Instead, he gave his divine privileges. We're talking about Jesus. He gave his divine privileges. He gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. And was born as a human being when he appeared in human form. Did you catch that? Instead, he gave up his divine privileges and he took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being when he appeared in human form. And he humbled himself
in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on the cross. So now that can no longer be an excuse. And not only that, let's look at what he says, and I'm sorry that we don't have these scriptures up here because I really want you to see these. Let's look at something else he says about Jesus. In Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 through 16, he says this in the New King James Version. It says, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast to our confession." Well, what's your confession? I'm saved. What's your confession? I'm a follower of Christ. That's your confession, okay? "For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin." If it is possible for me to get these scriptures up, I'd really love them. Verse number 16, "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need." Now, I want to break that down in the New Living Translation instead. Verse 14 through 16 in the New Living Translation says it like this. And the reason why I want to go to the New Living Translation is because it makes it very much, it's far more simpler. It says, "So then, we have a great high priest who has entered heaven, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold firmly to what we believe. This high priest of ours understands our weaknesses, for he faced all of the same testings that we do." Jesus. "For he faced all of the same challenges," Lord have mercy, "and testings that we do." Watch this. "Yet he did not sin." He wasn't down here God. In other words, he wasn't using his earthly power to be able to, you know, when Thick Shonda came over and tried to holler at Jesus, and you know, he was like, "I'm God. You don't turn me on." Nah, he was a man. And he was tempted. That means that even Jesus might have thought about it. Jesus might have looked at it. Y'all better quit acting. If Thick Shonda come over to you, huh? What goes through your mind, huh? See, because he's a man, huh? And don't get twisted. Well, Jesus is a man. No. It works for you too, women. Why y'all laughing? Yeah, y'all know how y'all get when sexy decks come around, huh? Girl. He says, but check this out. He says, "I want you to understand I'm the type of high priest that I was challenged with it all. I was tested by it all. What you liked, I liked, baby, but I liked my father more. See, I knew who I was, so therefore I knew what I can't do." When you begin to understand who you are, you begin to understand what you can't do no more. And watch this. It ain't even a I can't no more. It's a I don't want to because I'm connected to. Who are you connected to? I'm connected to the King. Huh? Yeah. Lord have mercy. So you see it. He understands our weaknesses. He faced all the testings that we did and that we do. He just don't sin. He just didn't sin. Now I want to go back real quick. We're almost done. I promise. Because I know this is a little hard. I want to go back to the Philippians chapter 2, verse number 5. And I want to share one last version with you. The Christian Standard Bible. And the reason that I do, for people that are not familiar with the Unity Worship Center, the reason why I do all of these different versions is because I want you to walk out. I want when you walk out to know there's no way that you didn't get it. Amen? It's not taking a shot at anybody's intelligence or anything like that. I just want to make sure you get it, because the problem for me when I was in church didn't seem like too many people cared if I got it. So since they didn't care if I got it or not, I didn't get it. And then what I did get in was trouble. When vices began to come up, arise up against me, I had no understanding of how to come out victorious, because preachers was more concerned with being deep
than being effective. Okay? So, the Christian Standard Bible says in Philippians chapter 2, verse number 5, adopt, you catch that word? Adopt the same attitude as that of Christ Jesus. Adopt. It means to, the word adopt means to accept or start to use something new. You understand what I'm saying to you? Maya, come here real quick. Alicia, come here real quick. Come here, honey. Boy, I tell you that. You're all right. You're all right. We have an enemy. And this is a serious lesson, and he really don't want it to come across. So how many of y'all know Alicia? Y'all know Alicia. Y'all know of Alicia, right? How many of y'all know Alicia? Maya ain't Alicia's. How many of y'all know that? Yeah, okay. All right, going over with Alicia. But when I, so Alicia has Maya. Put your arm around Maya right there. But when I, if I adopt Maya, watch this, she's no longer Alicia's. She's mine. Now watch this. When I adopt her, I go from fatherless man to father. So watch this. I want you to see. So I got my thinking, okay? But when I take on, so now she is the thinking of Jesus. So now I've got my thinking. Now, what is the thinking of Jesus? The Word of God, okay? So now that I'm adopting so that's why the Bible says, and the life that I live is no longer me, but the life that I live is the life that Jesus lives in me. So now you ask me how I feel, and I tell you what this mind says that I've adopted. See, when I adopt this, I say, I'm done with what I got, and I'm taking on something new. Here's my mind. Well, how do you feel about this? I feel the way Jesus feels about it. How do you feel about that? I feel the way Jesus feels about it. You understand what I'm saying to you? And everybody in here is supposed to have the same mind that Jesus has. And this is why we got all of these different denominations. Everybody's spiritual gangbanging because, you know, you understand what I'm saying to you? Because everybody's still claiming Jesus but rocking with their own mind. Baby, if the Bible didn't say it, you shouldn't be doing it, and you should only do what the Bible says do. You understand? Thank you, babe. So, since I've adopted the mind of Christ, I don't adopt my mind. I don't use my mind no more. So what used to get you cussed out won't get you cussed out by me because Jesus didn't cuss nobody out. I do what Jesus would have done. You see what I'm saying to you? You understand what I'm saying to you? And this is the plea. This is why it's not a sermon. It's a plea. It's a plea. I don't care how many new outfits you got. I don't care how you got your hair done. I don't care what they gave you to Christmas. It's going to make you feel new. You are not new until you change the way you think. Don't you buy nothing else. Don't you believe nothing else. Don't you let nobody, no prophet lie come and tell you. You can't have nothing of God till you change your mind. So let me, in my conclusion, check this out. Don't even party tonight if you're going to think the same. And if you're going to party in the club tonight, then you still thinking the same. Because there's a party going on here tonight. Oh, God. Yeah. You understand what I'm saying to you? See, how many of you have just come to the conclusion that it cannot continue the way it's been? It just can't stay the way it's been. And if that is your thinking, then I promise you, you really need to tap into this. That won't change until you do. Until how you think about it. Until you change how you think about it, because God does not, watch this, and he will never alter his thinking to support yours. Never. It will be the same way it was in 23, 22, 21, 16, 15. You understand what I'm saying to you? And some of us in this building have been going through the same hell for years. And it's only because, not because of the person that's putting you through the hell, not because of the people the company you keep and who you kick it with. It ain't got nothing to do with it. It's all got to do with, you know, my wife told me one time, my first wife, may she rest in peace and God be happy with her. She said, you only do what I allow. See, some of y'all are mad at the wrong people. You mad at your users, but you the one letting them use you. You mad at the one that sex you and don't call back, but you don't want to keep on answering the phone. You mad at the ones that you know you loan money and they don't pay you back, but you keep on loaning the money. You understand what I'm saying to you? Like you mad at the wrong person. They just doing what they do. You the one wrong for allowing it to happen. And it's going to keep happening until you change your mind. Nothing is going to change until you change your mind. Change your mind. Are you going to keep on getting notches on your bed rail? With no wedding ring. Yeah, I'm talking in here. Yeah, it's going to always be another one to say he got it. Mm-hmm. And the way it rocks in 2023, it's going to always be another one to say she got it till you change your mind. Why? Because you're going to have to figure out you're worth something. You're worth more than a broken heart. You're worth more than a sexual deposit spot. You're worth more than an emotional punching bag. You're worth more. And until you begin to believe that about yourself, you'll just continue to be the happy, depressed victim. Listen, we're done. Watch this. My last scripture, Romans 12:2. I really hope we can get this one up. Romans 12:2, New Living Translation. This blew my mind. All this time I've been rocking this verse and I ain't never saw this one right here. Romans 12:2, the New Living Translation. And it says, and I'll read it slow since we can't get it up. It says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world. Don't copy the behaviors and customs of this world. But let God transform you into a new person. Y'all ready? By changing the way you think. It's the only way it works. You can go to gym, get fit, get buff. You can go buy your new car. You can go get you a new job. You're still going to be you until you change how you think. And the problem that we have in the 21st westernized, in the 21st century westernized church, the reason that we have so many young murders and overdoses, and the reason is because the people in the church just come to church and no one changes. Look around this room. How many people's in this room? Even just with the adults and the teenagers. Because it's sad to say, y'all gonna get mad at me for saying it, but the teenager is the new grown. The teenager is the new grown. It wasn't supposed to be that way, but we gave up our post. We was too busy trying to get booze and bays. We was too busy clubbing with our children. But if the church, just if this number right here, would change their mind, and say, I'm not just going to be, you know, I go church, man. Yeah, you know, God being good to me. But you locked down, 10 toes, and get serious and focused about the things of God. Just the people in this room could shift the city. Could shift the city. But you know why that will be hard? Because we've become conditioned to faking it. It amazes me how we could be, we prided ourselves at being 100. I keep it 100 in the street, but we come to church and all of a sudden, not so much. Not so much. It doesn't have to be the same. When the seasoned saints used to say that, you don't have to leave here the same way you came. Baby, I promise that is the truth. But if you're not going to do what it's going to take for it to be different, then it's just going to be the same. And some of you won't be different because you're scared. Some of you won't be different because, you know, if you change up, some people going to change up on you, and you don't know if you're ready, if you're strong enough to take it. So some of you are scared to shift in your thinking because it's going to be some folk to leave you. But let me tell you the dope part about God. When he has you shifted, everything that leaves you, you needed to leave you anyway. So today, can I have this altar call today? And I want y'all to see that I did that. I asked her, because Pastor Sonia's one of her roles is she does the altar calls. But even though me being the senior pastor, if that's her role, then I have to respect that and say, is it okay for me to get that? So if I'm the senior pastor and I'm asking the associate pastor, then you know you ought to have some respect, right? Listen to me, beloved. Let's just work on changing your mind this year. Nothing else. Let's just work on how we see things. There's so much depression in this room, so much brokenness in this room, that even in praise and worship, folk can't even give God they all, because what they sing about, he's not that to us. I want you to understand, all you've got to do is change your mind. And this is how it works. This is how it worked. I was sitting in a penitentiary, 17 months. I sat in one cell. And I did nothing but I read the Bible. Every time, only TV I watched was basketball and church on Sunday. And after church on Sunday, you know, you had to clean up the cell, and whoever cleans up the cell gets the TV for the day. And I would clean it up just so I could watch Sunday service. And then they loved me, because after church was over, I was back in my bunk. And I'm trying to tell you that I would take this Bible. I got it up in my office. First Bible I ever got as a Christian when I converted from Islam. And I would sleep with this Bible, Pastor. You hear me? And when I would go to eat, when it was chow, I would go to my bunk. I would go to the tables in the jail with this Bible. When I went to watch the basketball game, I watched the basketball game with the Bible in my hand, because, see, I was such a wretch undone, I needed to be reminded 24/7 that I'm new. When the commercials came on during the game with the Revlon and all of that, and, you know, they made the makeup commercial super sexy, I would grab my Bible and I would walk away. I would turn away because I knew I had a problem with lust. I decided that I wasn't going to play games with this anymore. If I was really going to be saved, if I was really going to leave Islam and come to Christianity, then I was really going to have to shift in every area of my life. You think that's because you come down here and you say the sinner's prayer, whatever that is, that all of a sudden, woof, it's just gone? No, baby, you still going to have passions. You still got a whole flesh that you're going to have to deal with until Jesus comes home, or until you go home before. So everything I done with Jesus on my mind. I read the Bible 24/7. I've read through the Bible over 5 times. Not to brag, I read it because I knew that if I didn't know it, there was going to be a time that something was going to pop up that if I didn't have a word for it, I was going to fall victim to it. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Yeah. And with all of that training that I put myself through for 3 years, 17 months in one cell, and then the rest, fighting the rest of my cases through Kentucky. All that training, are you ready for this? Came home and fell anyway. Accolades through the roof. I go anywhere, get a lot of stuff free. People cry. You said this about my son and he's doing it now. And they cry. And I fail. I stop reading it so much. I stop thinking, you know, I'm cute. I got this. I don't have to study as much. I got it together. You understand what I'm saying to you? Satan came into my life. He came into my life and he almost tore me apart. He came into my life and he almost tore my marriage apart. He came in my life and we almost didn't get to sit in this building right here. And that was studied up. That was knowing Greek. That was knowing how to walk through a concordance and know Hebrew. And that was knowing all that fancy stuff that they talk about. And I had to ask myself a question. Do you want to die like this? All your life, you've been a hot mess. All your life, you've messed up everything that you've put your hands on. Do you really want to mess this up too? And I asked God, I said, if I could just get one more, Anybody ever been there? If I could just get one more, just... That's when you lose all your properness and you just, one more chance. I just need one more chance, just one more. Got my team together and I told them, if you're going to love me, you're going to have to defend me because sometimes I'm my worst enemy. You understand what I'm saying to you? And I had a conversation with everybody and everybody understood what all had popped off and they decided that they loved me through it and loved me anyway. And now I'm back on the grind. And when I say on the grind, I'm back in the Word. I'm studying the Word. I'm watching who's around me. You understand what I'm saying to you? It can change today. It can change today. It can change today. You never have to hurt again. You never have to be your worst enemy again. You never have to be your problem again. It doesn't mean that hell isn't going to come up against you and try to destroy you every day of your life. It will. But when you're working with that thing called the Holy Spirit, he ain't a thing, he's a person. When you're working with that Holy Spirit, the Bible says, this is what blew my mind. Jesus said that when the Holy Spirit comes, he will lead you into all truth. He'll lead you into all truth. And I began to follow that Holy Spirit again. You understand what I'm saying, woman of God? I began to follow that Holy Spirit again. And it wasn't comfortable and it wasn't popular and it wasn't fun. And it didn't always feel good. And it wasn't what everybody else was doing. And it wasn't with a whole bunch of people. And it wasn't TTT. But I began to sleep at night. God began to give me godly kingdom responsibility. And we began to speak to young people and we began to speak to broken people. And God began to send people to the house and lives I'm watching being transformed of no strength of my own, but all because of the Holy Ghost, that precious Holy Ghost. And he's here for you today. He's here for you today. What greater way to walk into 2024 new? Not because of your outfit, not because of your hairdo, not because of your church affiliation, but because of your new affiliation with Christ. Because of your new affiliation with Christ. Do it mean you ain't gonna make no mistakes? Heck no. You're gonna make some mistakes. Do it mean you ain't gonna never drop the ball? Probably not. You're probably gonna drop the ball a time or two. But the difference is this time you won't drop it on purpose. The mistakes won't be on purpose. Sin don't come through here so easy no more. You understand what I'm saying to you? If there's anybody in the building today that says, I'm going to start my year off right, and I don't want you coming down here emotionally charged, I want you to think about it. Because we ask you when you decide to give your life to Jesus, will you confess him with your mouth? And that's an easy part. Everybody says, yeah, no problem at all with that. But the part I want you to think about is, do you believe that God raised him from the dead? See, because if you can't believe that God raised Jesus from the dead, then you can't believe that God will raise you from the dead. If you don't believe that God got Jesus up, you ain't gonna believe that God can get you up. So if there's anybody in the building today, if there's anybody in the building today that desires to give their life to Christ, we offer you the invitation to come on down. I don't care if you did it last week, 3 weeks ago, if you're serious, if you're done playing games, if you are sick and tired of being sick and tired, we offer you the invitation to come on down. Now, when you come down, what I want you to understand is what you're saying is, I'm coming down to change my thinking. I'm not just coming down just to be having some, so I can be seen and people can, I'm so proud of you and all that. You are dying. And if we don't get this right, we're gonna be in a burning hell. So if there's anybody in the building today that says, I'm giving my life to Jesus, I'm changing the way I think, I ain't worried about what I lose along the way, we invite you to come on down. Hallelujah. If there's anyone in the building that says, listen, I had a relationship with Jesus, and for whatever reason, I tricked it off. God is perfect, so it had to be me. And today's the day that I want to rededicate my life to Christ. We offer you the invitation to come on down. I love that rededication part. The Bible says that a just man falls 7 times. And I had to learn that the shame wasn't in falling. Falling gonna happen. But the shame is in staying down. The shame is in staying in it.